Thanks for tuning in to Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along.
Welcome back to Conversations About Meaningful Things. My name is Brian.
And I'm Alex.
And I'm Steve. And we are so glad that you have decided to join us once again. We got some feedback from some folks about one of the episodes. It was great to hear from you and great to get that feedback. Just a reminder, if you want to send us a note or even suggest maybe some topics that we could talk about, it's real simple, podcast@victorchurch.org. Real simple email. And hopefully we'll hear from you, and that'll spark our thinking a little bit, which will spark our conversations.
Yes. Yeah. Naturally, if something's meaningful to you, that probably means it's meaningful to more than just you.
Absolutely.
So it's really cool to hear from people that they were having conversations about the same things that we were talking about.
Yeah, and then
so yeah, let us know.
We just kind of tagged in with that with them, and they were going to share, and so that's cool.
Yeah.
And you know, that's part of what our goal is, to get people talking and thinking, and lean into the things that we sit around and talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
And think about. And there's lots of topics available, right? There's lots of options out there. And that's kind of what we want to talk about this morning is options, or this afternoon, whenever you happen to be listening. I just realized I should have said the time of day, but the fact that there are options out there, there's this phrase called Christian liberty that really speaks to the idea of how many options do we have as followers of Jesus on what we can and can't do? Is it a very strict list, or is there some freedom within our faith? I mean, Jesus said it's for freedom that I've set you free. So what does that look like, and what does that mean in terms of the choices we make day in and day out? And there's, quite honestly, over the course of history, there's been a lot of places people have landed on what you could or should or would do as a follower of Jesus, and what you couldn't and shouldn't and wouldn't do as a follower, right? Lots of stuff out there.
Yeah. So it's interesting you say that, Steve, and I love this conversation. I've honestly been really excited to have this one, because I think it's a fun, and there's potential for disagreement here, and open to interpretation for some people, think it's open to interpretation. I think it's interesting because a lot of people that I talk to, when they're maybe on the outside looking into people of faith, Christianity, church, they view Christianity as kind of, it's just a religion full of rules. Like, it's all these, you can't do this, don't do that, don't do that. So you're saying that there is freedom, and we have freedom in Christ, like you said, but what does that mean? What does it mean to have freedom in Christ? What does that look like?
Yeah, and I think you're right. People looking in from the outside, or when they think about even just religion in general, right?
Yeah.
Not even necessarily thinking about faith or Christianity, but just this whole idea of religion, think it's very restrictive. And so, that's all the stuff you can't do that we all really enjoy doing anyway, but so why would I want to consider that? So I think there is a lot of freedom. Scripture gives us freedom. Jesus came to set us free. And so what does that look like? I mean, there's lots of areas in terms of things we consume, whether it's physically consume it or visually or audibly consume it. I think there are ways of expression that people have questions about. What is that appropriate? Should I do that? Shouldn't I do that? And so that's kind of what we want to talk about today. What are some of those? And are there guardrails somewhere that we should consider? And what do those look like? And is it possible that they're different for different people?
I love that.
So, disclaimer for all of you listening, there might not be direct answers for you with some of these topics. People don't like gray areas, and I mean, we talked about how with religion, people go, well, it's restrictive. There's all these rules. Some people want that. Some people want black and white. They want, tell me what to do. Tell me what not to do. Yeah. And that's it. And fortunately or unfortunately, there are some things in the Bible that where it's more of the, well, what does it need to be for you?
Yeah.
So there might not be direct answers. But we're going to do our best.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, we want to know what are the boundaries, what's in bounds, what's out of bounds. I mean, because once you know the boundaries, then you kind of know where your freedom is.
Yeah.
If you don't know where the boundaries are, you're just always wondering if you're out of bounds, I suppose.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or if you're like me, I'm the oldest and maybe this is not for everybody. That's
oldest
in
that family.
In my family.
Not in the room. I clearly have that title.
Thank you, Steve, for that clarification. Yes, I'm the oldest in my family, siblings, and I was the quintessential rule follower, but also I got really good at, I wanted to know what the boundary was, and so I could get as close to that boundary line as possible, which isn't always the right heart motive to how we live our life, but I'm curious if we can just sort of back up just a little bit. Obviously, Brian, and you're right. We're going to try our best today. Obviously, we can't come up with an exhaustive list of here is everything that's in that gray area or within our ability to have freedom or Christian liberty. But what are some things that you guys could think of that are probably some more prominent ones when we're talking about here are some things that potentially could fall under Christian liberty, things that we as believers can walk in that, and when we say Christian liberty, we're talking about things that are not overtly sinful. They're not explicitly stated in Scripture that, this is missing the mark here if you were to engage in these things. The Bible's clear on that. They're the things that are outside of that, that God doesn't specifically say, don't do this, but...
Right, but maybe there's some guiding principles available to us. I mean, some of the... If I'm looking at the low-hanging fruit of those subject matters, right, I would say, alcohol, the use of alcohol, piercings, tattoos, what kind of music or art stuff we take in.
Yeah.
So I'll start the list with those, and you guys can jump in on other things.
Yeah. I mean, should we just... talk about those for a second.
Yeah, totally. Let's do it.
Yeah, the first thing that came to my mind too was alcohol, because that's a big topic amongst Christians, especially in America. From what the research I've done, it definitely seems it's not as big of a deal in Europe and other places, but specifically here, for whatever reason, it is a big thing. So, with that, from what we've read in the Bible, there's some verses that talk about like it is helpful for people who are going through stuff if they need a way to kind of relax for a bit, but also it is very explicit about do not get drunk.
Yeah.
And so there is that line where some people are able to have a glass of wine and be done, and there are other people who absolutely cannot. Once they have the one, then they have to have more.
Yeah.
I saw this quote that is one is too much, and what is the quote? Oh, we should probably cut this out.
Oh, something like for an alcoholic, one is too much and 100 is not enough, kind of thing.
Correct.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yes.
I've heard that
correct,
before.
Correct.
Absolutely.
But yeah, and that's where that falls into is are you able to take one step and then that's it? Or is that one step down a slippery slope that you can't get back out of?
Yeah. Right.
So
definitely.
Yeah,
and I think, people look at Scripture and say, well, Jesus turned water to wine. Of course, alcohol is perfectly fine. Paul was instructed to, we see Paul's instruction to have a glass of wine because it'll help. And those are really medicinal purposes that Paul's talking about. And you're right. And the Proverbs talks about, wine or strong drink and beer being a mocker, and that's not the point at which we want to be as followers of Jesus, as people who want to have control. And so that's one of the factors there. I think, we talked about, and I'll just circle back for a second. We talked about what are the things that are in this gray area, right? Yeah. So I think I'm gonna toss out three terms in the course of our conversation to maybe help be guiding principles for people as they're thinking about things. And Alex, you said earlier that like there's things that are obvious in scripture, said, you know, just don't do that.
Right.
Like that's clear. So I think that first kind of guiding principle, is there any command about this?
Yeah.
Right? Mm. God says, do not murder, right? Oh, okay, well, yeah, I shouldn't be going around killing people. That's clear. It's not like, well, it's a gray area. I mean, if I feel like killing them, it should be okay, right?
Right. So, did God really say that?
So the first thing is like, is there a command in scripture? Has God said definitively about this subject matter? But yeah, and alcohol is one that is, I think, all over the map for people in a lot of ways, and it depends on the situation, the circumstance, certainly.
Yeah. So Steve, you said the law, and maybe I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but I think what you were alluding to really encompasses a lot of these gray area topics. So you talked about the law, which is Old Testament, Moses and the Israelites, they come out of slavery. Mm-hmm. So God's people, and God really for the first time says, like, you are my people and I'm going to give you some guidelines that's going to reflect my heart for you. But also we see in scripture, God's design for the old covenant and his people in Israel was to be a reflection to the rest of the world, God's standard. And we get the 10 commandments from that. And I think it's interesting because then Jesus shows up on the scene, and he, on this famous Sermon on the Mount, he kind of quotes some Old Testament law and says, you remember it was said, you know, don't murder. But Jesus doesn't just go, you know, it was a little intense. I know, you know, don't murder. Yeah. No, he takes it a step further and goes, it's about the heart. Like, even if you say that you hate your brother, you've already murdered him in your heart. Like, it's almost like he's taking it a step further. But I think he mentioned something really important there, that our motive is it starts in the heart, and that's where God cares about the most, is what is our heart motive. And we see in the New Testament, the New Covenant, after Jesus comes, is crucified and raised back to life, we get this new covenant, this new law, and we see a lot of it. It's called the law of love. So what is our motivation? Is it out of love? Is it out of selfish ambition? And do you guys think some of these gray area things, like when we're talking about using alcohol, or should I not get a tattoo or piercing, do you think some of this can fall under that law of love?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that Jesus said in that passage you referred to was that I haven't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. In other words, he embodied all that God intended for those guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly Jesus rarely condemned people, but he would correct them, right? And he would love them, and he would meet them right where they're at. And so the principle isn't how quickly can I point out how wrong you are, because I think I'm so right. It is a law of love that we see in the New Testament, and we see that embodied and exemplified in Christ and his ministry and in his teaching and how he lived that out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see Jesus with his ministry often really pointing to, kind of going back to, I guess, our first episode, the why behind all of it. I think of when the Pharisees were attacking Jesus about healing someone on the Sabbath, and how they're like, no, that's work. That's against the rules.
Yeah.
He goes, but what is that actually for?
Mm.
Right? And I think about that, especially, again, not to harp on it, but to go back to alcohol, the people that have an unhealthy relationship with it, it takes the place of God in their life. It's their one goal.
Yeah.
It becomes that addiction. And we can get addicted to other things too. Steve, I think you brought up music and entertainment and stuff like that too.
Sure.
That could be that for us as well. So it's kind of the why shouldn't we murder? Because that is hateful. You also shouldn't be hateful towards other people.
Yeah, and what place does that have in our lives, right? You mentioned an addiction, right? What is that? How is that serving us?
Yeah.
How is that helping us? What are we leaning into that for? And a lot of times, those are kind of counterfeit versions of what God really has for us. Like, God really has a place where we can rest and we can relax and we can find meaning, not necessarily in some of the arenas that when taken to an extreme we're talking about, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in what you guys are saying too is like in these gray area things, for some people, they can have a drink or they can go get a tattoo and that's not offending their conscience. They're not doing it out of a motive of going, well, I'm trying to replace my relationship with God or what I should be going to God with or for because I'm stressed or whatever. They're turning to a substance or an experience to replace that. If somebody's not, if their conscience isn't offending them, would you guys say that that would be an okay thing to walk in? Would you guys?
Well, I think, when we talk about conscience, we can become numb to things.
Sure.
Right. And so mm-hmm. I think that the first kind of litmus test for me is, has God been definitive in his word on this subject?
Right.
If he hasn't, okay, what's my conscience before God? And I think that's a key part is yeah. before God, not just my conscience,
right.
just on my own. Yeah. I mm-hmm. just get to mm-hmm. do whatever I want, but conscience, assuming that I have some responsibility, I have some accountability to a God who loves me and yeah. died for me. And but a person who hasn't put their faith in Christ, then when we say it's a matter of conscience, it's really then just whatever they think, mm-hmm. right? Because it's not conscience before any sort of responsibility or accountability. So that would be my only caveat.
Yeah.
That. Like, yeah. oh, just because you think it's okay in your own mind,
right.
like, but conscience is the second part of that. So command sure. is the first one and conscience is the mm. second part. What is your gut and your heart and your mind, all of who you are, think before a holy God? Is that okay?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. for some of us, we would say, this doesn't sit well with me. And so yeah. maybe as a matter of conscience, you'd not go down that road. Right. Others might say, you know what? Yeah, this is good. In fact, some of my tattoo actually reminds me of God's goodness in my life, or it's mm-hmm. a reminder of what God's done. And like, yeah. okay, well, then is that a bad thing necessarily? So I think that's my only caveat to conscience.
Yeah.
But I think conscience is the second part of that. Like, what's going on inside of me?
Right, definitely. No, yeah. that's good. And just to piggyback off that too, Steve, and you said in a recent message, I think, the whole idea of grace, and when we think of it in wrong terms, it's I view grace as a license to do whatever I want.
Oh yeah, nope.
That's not what grace is about. The other side too, I was thinking about this, and in preparation for this episode, I was just thinking about Paul's letters to the early church, and he's got some really interesting and really helpful things to say, because mm-hmm. a lot of these churches he's writing to, like they're babies in the faith. They're just still figuring it out. And he's he's impacting, you're coming against cultural influences and all sorts of things.
I was going to say they're coming out of some of the things that we're talking about,
yeah.
or they're struggling with some of the things that we're talking about even back then. Yeah,
absolutely. And there's a great letter that he writes to the church in Rome. And this is for anybody that's going, hey, how does the faith work and how do I live this out? I think Romans is one of the best places to start. Just Paul really outlines mm-hmm. just the faith really well. But I thought this was interesting in Romans 14. He says this, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I just think that's interesting too, because it's not just, hey, my conscience isn't offending me. I know God hasn't really said explicitly, don't do this, so it's okay for me to do this, but if there's someone that is a brother or sister in Christ who their conscience does offend them, mm-hmm. take drinking, for example, like we're going to go out with friends and I know this person, like that's a stumbling block for them. Maybe it's they have an issue from their past with substances, or it just is offending their conscience, to to walk in the law of love, like what we're talking about, that Jesus came to bring, to partake in that and to cause them to stumble, like that for me should be considered sin because I'm causing that person to stumble. Would you guys agree with that assumption? I feel like that might be what Paul is saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the Bible, God says that do not call what is unclean what I have made clean. So there's this duality to it of first, for our conscience, if we're saying, okay, God designed me this way and this is the stumbling for me, so for me, this is not good, this is unclean to me, we shouldn't then say, well, that's the rule. And we're going to add that applies to everyone if it is in that area.
Right.
However, yes, we need to be mature and we need to be discerning in helping our brothers and sisters with their walk as well. So, yeah, you wouldn't say, hey, I know that you have this history where tattoos to you resemble some really bad things from your past, but I'm going to peer pressure you into getting one.
Yeah.
Right. I know that these certain words bring up things for you. I know that watching this type of movie will cause you to really dwell on these thoughts that lead you down a bad path. Like, but we're going to watch it anyway. Absolutely do not do that.
Yeah.
That's, we need to be helpful in building each other up. And so, if you're not, it's not that hard line in the sand of absolutely no one should do this for a lot of these things that we're talking about, but also it is a line that Paul draws there for us of, don't do it though if it is going to cause somebody else to fall.
And you know, we talk about lines, but I think there's maybe another way to think about it is what's the path. So where is this going to take me if I pursue this at all? So, you know, we talk about, well, I crossed the line. And sometimes people think, well, I've crossed the line. I might as well just do whatever I want now.
Right. Sure.
Right? But really, I think the question, one of the dynamics to the question is, what path is this taking me down?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're listening, that might be one of the considerations as you're thinking about what we call these gray areas. Right. Like, okay, well, if I do this, what path am I headed down, and is the long range place on that path really where I want to be, or is that really what I think is what I want to see happen in my life or my experience? So I was just thinking about that as we were talking. I think the other aspect of what we're talking about, so I said command, and then we said conscience, and now you guys have already hit on it. The other is consideration.
Yeah.
So how am I considering those around me and the effect that I have on those around me?
Yeah.
And, you know, as Paul said, it might be okay for me to do. Paul said all things are permissible, but not all things are profitable, right?
Right.
Is this, like, I can do it, but is it a good thing to do or isn't it? And so what kind of effect does my choice in this matter have on the people around me? And I know there are, you know, we've all spent time in youth ministry. In case you don't know that, we've all been youth pastors at one point or another, and Brian still is. So I, you know, at times slightly jealous of that, but anyway, but one of the things I made a decision on early was there were certain things I wasn't going to do, even though I thought biblically I could, that I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But I thought I'm setting an example for students, and I wanted to just make sure I set the best example I could.
Yep.
And so there were certain things that I didn't necessarily have an issue if someone else was partaking in or doing, but for me, trying to be conscious of that example, I just said, you know what, I'm just going to steer clear of that, and that's just the choice that I'm going to make. And then it kind of became a conscience thing for me. So even when I wasn't around students, like, you know, it wasn't mean like, okay, oh, there's no students around. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Right? It became an issue of conscience because of that. And I think that's that principle of consideration.
Yep.
Am I considering those around me? What effect might that have? And maybe it's not something that they particularly are struggling with or think is wrong, but they might just look at you as a believer and not understand, like,
correct,
how do those pieces fit together? Like, yeah, that doesn't fit for me. And maybe right, it's just, instead of just forging ahead, it's just an opportunity to have a conversation then, yep, about that particular subject or that thing.
Yeah. And so the law of love, it really does compel us to not only consider the motivation for myself. Why am I engaging in this? Why do I want to do this? Is it simply because, oh, well, the line's there, so I can get as close to that line as possible.
Right. Yeah.
But I also think in Jesus, we see this modeled in his life and ministry, and also what he left for us to follow in his stead is to take the position of a servant, to think of others more important than ourselves, and to know, man, if this is going to be a stumbling block for someone, I'm going to steer. I love that example, Steve, to just, I'm going to model my behavior around a posture of love and wanting to point people towards Jesus. And that freedom, I've come to the conclusion, the freedom we have in Christ is a freedom to love and serve like he loved and served. It's
right,
it's something that doesn't come natural for us as human beings on our own, right? Like, it's so easy for me to be selfish and to think about, well, I want to do this, and I'm going to, I mean, and we have kids, like, we see that lived out.
Yeah.
They want to do what they want to do, no matter the consequences.
Yes. And multiple times.
I think we, you know what? We all come into the world that way.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as we wrap up, one of the pitfalls of having those hard lines in our lives, we've been touching on it a lot, is the, if you do mess up and go over it, Steve said, like, well, if I messed up, I might as well just keep going then. And so especially when it's lines that we've drawn ourselves, that can happen. Mm-hmm. We brought up health before as kind of an example, a parallel, but you see that a lot where if you're on a diet and you mess up a little bit, that little mess up, you can definitely go back and be fine. But so many people say, well, I mess up a little bit, I might as well just gorge.
Gonna eat the whole cake.
Yeah. And then that's when it becomes a problem. I do like Steve said towards the beginning, he used the term guardrail. I think that's a great way of looking at this, is when you're driving down the road, the guardrail's there for safety. You don't say, how close can I get to that guardrail?
Right.
You don't.
Until I hear metal scraping.
And the point isn't, yeah, like, you hit it, you're going to be hurt when you hit the lines, especially the ones that God has drawn, but even the ones that God has told you specifically, hey, this is something that you shouldn't get close to. Yeah. You will get hurt, but the good news is that the grace is there for us to come back.
Yeah.
And so it's not, okay, I hit it, I might as well just keep hitting it. It's, okay, I hit it, okay, now I know. Let's not go to that again.
And like you said, Brian, it's a great illustration. The guardrails they're not our target. They're just to try and keep us going the right direction with as little damage as possible, right?
Yeah.
So
it's not how close can you get to the line, it's how close can you get to God.
Yeah.
Really.
Ooh. That's great, Brian. I love that. I'm going to get that as a tattoo. I'm just kidding.
Perfect.
Well, we appreciate you guys leaning in with us today for this conversation. And this might be one we pick up again. This might be, we'll have a part two down the line somewhere.
Definitely.
Definitely appreciate your feedback on today's episode. If you have some thoughts or questions or insight you want to send along to us, that'd be great. Again, it's podcast@victorchurch.org. And for Brian and Alex, I'm Steve, and we will see you again real soon.
See you guys.
See ya.